Turn in your Bibles, please, this morning to Acts chapter 24. And while you're turning, let me just read a card that I have here from Stella. And she is basically thanking the church for all of your thoughts and your prayers and all of your kindness to her. She says, "Thank you for your prayers. Please keep praying for me. God is very good." And this comes from Stella. And I wanted to share that card this morning. This morning, with your Bibles open, let me begin reading at verse number 20. Verse number 22. Acts 20, verse 22. Paul said, "But now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and with the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today for the reading of your precious word. And I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would see fit to take the message, this passage of Scripture, and Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Bless in the service, needs today, whatever sort they might be. If someone is watching, someone is here, that's never been saved, the gospel of the grace of God today, enter their hearts. We pray this morning, as we think of the country of the Ukraine and the threats on the part of this Russian dictator and how the whole world is being impacted now, my Father, I pray for your intervention, for your direction. I pray for wisdom to be given to world leaders, beginning with our own president. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would vindicate the cause of those dear people that are suffering from this despot who wants to rule them, and people losing their lives, innocent civilians, and the people there are fighting for their very existence. And Father, I would pray, God, that you'd give them victory and triumph. And Father, as even I think of that passage of Scripture where prophetically you'll put hooks in the jaws of that power from the north, God, I pray that you'll put hooks in their jaws now and lead them to total overwhelming defeat. So God, please be with and help those dear people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we look here at a passage of Scripture which has to do with the words, the testimony of the great apostle Paul. Paul the Apostle was not too far from his life being ended. He was approaching the last part of his life to where he would be martyred for the cause of Christ. He recognized in the inevitable. He knew what was lying ahead. He knew that troubles would beset him. He knew that in spite of that, and in spite of what he'd already been through, he still goes on inspired record of saying that it didn't count his life dear unto himself. His motive, his driving ambition, was to please the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his driving motive. We see here in this passage of Scripture, as he speaks about the afflictions and the troubles that would befall him, he still, basically, he says, regardless of that, my life is not nearly as important as the cause. He recognized that a cause was greater than his life. He recognized that his life was less important than the cause. namely the cause of getting out the gospel of the grace of God. You know, David one time asked the question, is there not a cause? And we can remember that account there. As I speak this morning, the country of the Ukraine is fighting for its existence. Those people recognize that the cause of freedom is more important than their life itself. They're actually, the citizens have been armed, right on down to young people, taking up arms, defending their homeland, willing to die, willing to put their physical lives on the altar, that that country that has tasted of freedom might survive. I believe this morning, if there's ever been a critical prayer need, it's to pray for that country and to pray for success. Because listen to me, you probably were watching the news this morning. I know many of you were. I was watching it. I've been glued to it lately as things have developed over there. But the dictator of Russia has literally put his nuclear power or part of his power on alert. Now, it's people like that that could very easily start World War III. And so we might be talking about a country that's thousands of miles from where we are here in our country and in our state, but I'm going to tell you it's very relevant what's going on over there right now to where we are. It's very relevant. But a cause. Paul recognized a cause was greater than his life. By the way, a cause led the leaving of the Son of God from the bosom of his Father and descending to this earth in his virgin birth. A cause caused him to endure the cross, despising the shame and providing redemption for us. A cause rests upon the Christian challenge to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. A cause supports the reason for our having church here this morning in this service. A cause supports the reason for the existence of this church. A cause supports the reason for our being here. A cause supports our being here this morning. A cause. We believe today that God saves sinners. We believe today that God blesses Christian people's hearts. We believe today in gospel ministry. We believe today that God's program in this world is a local New Testament church. We believe today there's no substitute for the local New Testament church. We're here today because of a cause. It's in a church such as this that we gather, that we're given the scriptures, that we hear from the Word of God. It's in a church such as this that we stand. I preach the gospel. Invitations are given. People are reminded that Jesus saves a vilest sinner. That's the reason why we have church this morning. I believe that the history of nations, including the rise and fall of nations, fits into the scheme of a cause. Yet in the history of nations, we must always factor in God's blessings and man's responsibility to rightly use the resources given. And I want to give you an illustration of that. I don't know what the gas price is right now at the Shell station in Kernersville, where a lot of times we buy gas. I think it's something like $3.59 right now. You may be paying more, you may be paying less. But we're closing in on the $4 a mark per gallon of gas. And I thought about it like this. We as a nation are blessed with resources that God's given us. What we're doing in this country right now, it's like we go out and find a wounded, deadly animal on the side of the road. We bring that wounded, deadly animal into our house. We start feeding it. We start nurturing it. It gets stronger and stronger, and because it has the instinct of a wild, vicious animal, all we're doing is sustaining its energy in order for someday for it to attack us. We keep we keep pulling our resources, our energy from Russia. We're sitting on wealth of fuel right here in this country. We're feeding the hands and the coffers of the country that is building its military resources, and then it takes those resources and then it attacks the Ukraine. You'd be surprised the revenue that's generated by fuel. And that's happening. Now, a question that I have this morning, and by the way, what I'm saying will tie in with my message, so don't alarm, don't push a panic button yet. I'm going somewhere with this. Why is it that we import 22 million barrels of oil, of fuel, from Russia monthly when we have our own resources? The country of Ukraine and the Russian invasion is a major news story, isn't it? It's dominating the news. The economy and the global market is affected by the war there and in this part of the country as well. In other words, what's happening is impacting the economy of the entire world. Here in America, we're having to tighten our belts as gas prices, grocery prices, and basically all commodities have seen a price increase. We're suffering, and let's just be honest, we're suffering at the hands of an incompetent administration more concerned in protecting the environment than protecting the American citizens. I'm going to tell you what, when we go down as a country, We will care less about the environment anyway. It's going to be survival. Our survival could very possibly be more at risk than our environment. You probably notice I get hot around the collar when I think about radical liberal politics, because I don't appreciate this country being destroyed. Do you? I've come to believe that liberal politics produce brain freeze for some reason. Brain freeze. Spiritual sickness leads to distorted thinking. That is a fact. Spiritual sickness leads to distorted thinking, blinded minds, and here's where I'm going with this. Blinded minds, blinded spiritual minds, fail to see the ability of God. Fails to see the ability of God. The God who created this earth knows how to sustain it. He has his own filtering system when it comes to water and air. He doesn't need a squad to help him. He doesn't. By the way, I don't apologize, or I need to apologize if I'm plumb stupid for saying things that are out of line. But I don't apologize for giving the truth. And here's what I've come to believe, and I believe that every preacher would do well to consider this point. When it comes to church business, local churches, preaching the gospel, seeing church growth, you really cannot separate too far politics from religion. Here's what I mean by that. When politics go sour because of spiritual blindness, one of the targets that politics will put its sights on is religion and the church. So I'm telling you, when you have bad politics, church is threatened. And that's why preachers need to raise their voices a little bit. And the good thing, and here's how I look at life anymore. The good thing is age can have its negative and positive issues. When you get older, you get weaker in many ways. But you, a lot of times, do wisen up a little bit. And then when you get closer to heaven anyway, then you become less fearful in a sense. You figure, what damage can people do? I mean, kill me, you'll just send me to heaven, right? And I've also pastored long enough to where I could care less about what the church even thinks in terms of whether it likes or dislikes hearing the truth even when it hurts. I mean, if you would fire me as a church, then I'd say, toodly-doo, I'll take a vacation, enjoy life. But what bothers me in our culture that we're living today is there's too much compromising going on. There's not enough preachers anymore that are standing and preaching the truth because they're scared of what people think. My friend, our country's going to hell in a handbasket. And when that happens, we won't even have a church. So, the situation here, you know, I kind of think of the story of the Titanic when I think of where America is today. The mental incapacity of the radicals in Washington to realize the danger that they've moved our country into. We're told that some of the passengers on the Titanic obviously didn't take the danger seriously. Some were picking up chunks of ice, we're told, as a souvenir, while the ship was sinking. Many are gathering souvenirs of chunks of ice while the Titanic was going down, and I'm telling you, we're seeing a little bit of that right now in this administration north of here. An example of brain freeze. Here's a good example. Brain freeze can be defined this way. Underfunding and getting rid of the police, cutting the military budget, taking the money, applying it to the New Green Deal, spending money to fight drug traffic or fund wars to fight extremists abroad while we open our southern borders and anybody can come their way right onto this country and God only knows how many bad guys are coming through regularly. And then on top of that, Putin has been emboldened by this U.S. administration which has abandoned Americans in Afghanistan, for he respects nothing but strength, and he sees the lack of it in Washington right now. Our current government thinks more of itself than its people. It lacks character, has distorted values. The good of this country and homeland is not the priority of this country, for it's built upon greed, power and prestige on the part of the president and his administration. I'll say it again. He ought to be in the brig today for dereliction of duty. We're seeing, and here's where my heart gets tender. We're seeing the opposite of Washington in the action and the sacrifices of the Ukrainian people. They're fighting for their homeland while our government gives ours away. They have a president in the Ukraine that's grabbed a weapon, including his cabinet. They've grabbed weapons. They're willing to fight. They're willing to die for their country. But here we have a president that's giving ours away. What a contrast between two presidents. Their cause is greater than their life. I don't know where this thing will go. I know it's in God's hands. But I personally believe this morning that that dictator, who's of the same stripes as Adolf Hitler, is seeing more than the Ukraine. I believe he's seeing the NATO nations that are surrounding the Ukraine, and he needs to be stopped. The citizens there are given guns to fight and are fighting to the end. And the basic reason is this. And I was there not too long after the old Soviet Union crumbled. I was in the Ukraine. I've looked the people in their eyes. I've stayed in their homes. I've seen the love of freedom across their faces. I've seen their compassion, their generosity. In fact, the dear Ukrainian lady that I stayed with, they had virtually no money. And I can still remember how this dear lady went out the day before I was to leave and come back to the States. And she went shopping just to buy me some things to give me, to show me that she was so glad to have me as a guest in her home. So those people have tasted freedom. And those people aren't willing to give it up. And I also do believe this. And here's where technology does come in handy. And here's where the internet is very important in many ways. The world that we live in has shrunken. Even in remote places, even in underdeveloped countries, even in countries under Soviet control, Russian control, communist control, they still have the internet, many. And people are reading and seeing and hearing about countries that are free. Why do you think thousands of people are demonstrating in Russia right now because they disagree with the policies of their leader? Well, thank you, Internet. People are seeing what's going on. But you know what? Once you taste freedom, the sweetness in the palate of your existence, you'll never forget. Those people have tasted freedom and they're willing to fight and die for it. I mean, children taking up arms. Can you imagine that? Freedom is that precious. That reminds me of the American Revolution, the signers of the Constitution. In signing the Constitution, many of them knew they were signing away their fortunes, their security, and the possibility of their very life. What an amazing thing, the protests that are taking place now. And by the way, did you hear this on the news this past week? Russian tennis player Audrey Rublev wrote this. No war, please. Across a TV camera. No war, please. And hey, people get it. People get it. But now, here's what I want to do now. Let's come back to our text. The Ukraine is an illustration of how people believe that freedom is more important than life. They believe that the cause is more important than life itself. That's what Paul is saying here. He says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I believe the cause of Christianity, the testimony of churches, the Great Commission, the advance of the Christian faith is greater than our fears. I believe that we're part of a cause that's more important than our petty self. More important than ourselves. The Apostle Paul knew that the gospel ministry involved a cause greater than life itself. You know, the kind of patriotism that led to the birth and the growth of this nation was this kind where life has less value than cause. The kind of Christianity that spawned the Protestant Revolution was a kind when life was less value than the cause. And now the kind of Christianity that will rebuild churches is a kind where life is less value than the cause. Duty is to take priority over self-interest. Now you heard this past week, and Brother Glenn alluded to it this morning. In the Ukraine this past week, a young engineer applied demolitions to a bridge, knowing when he applied the demolitions, as the Russian forces moved through, knowing that he more than likely could not escape in time, they had to blow the bridge at a certain strategic time, and in doing so, he himself was killed. He was awarded posthumously the highest honor of the country. Now, that's what I'm talking about this morning. Let me put it in a very practical sense, Christian. When God saved you and me, we entered into a cause more important than life itself. We did. We have invested ourselves in a cause more important than our physical existence. We have. What we do for Jesus Christ is more important than anything else. You know, this same apostle would say, I fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. You know, Christian, today you and I need to spend less time looking at ourselves, pondering our fears, thinking about our issues, and simply do what God saved us to do. Let's be faithful. Here's what Paul said, basically. He was not deterred by afflictions. Afflictions didn't slow him down. Note what it said, but none of these things moved me. His troubles didn't become his priority. That's what he's saying there. His afflictions didn't move him. He had tons of them too. I mean, from the time that Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Until the time he said, I'm now ready to be offered. That man's life went from one problem to the next. I mean, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was persecuted. He was in and out of jail. He suffered tremendously, but yet he turns around and says here, none of these things move me. You know, we're living at a time to where it doesn't take a whole lot of things to move the average Christian. I'm talking about the slightest problem come along. Guess who gets dumped first? God. Church. Responsibility. Serving the Lord. God takes the first dumping. I've often wondered about that. You know, when you and I have issues and problems and troubles that come into our life, we need God more at that time. We don't need to become colder and more indifferent. We need to be warmed up more, don't we? In other words, when I'm hurting, I don't need to stay out of church. I need to be in church. So the greatest counsel that we'll ever get is not the kind where we slap $200 on the desk and let some guy counsel us using words we don't even understand. But I mean, just come to church and listen to the Bible and let the counselor of all counsel, who the Bible says is a wonderful counselor, let God help us. So, Paul said, None of those things aren't going to move me. God saved me to serve Him. God saved me to preach the truth. God saved me to keep plugging forward. And that's what I'm going to do. And thank God we see that in this church and many people's testimonies here. And that's refreshing. Now, secondly, note something else. He was not absorbed by self-interest. Note the statement, neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's a powerful statement. He viewed his life as a means to the end. To him, the gospel was worth dying for. Worth dying for. He was not to be sidetracked from his duty. And then note what it was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, that's what it is. The gospel of the grace of God. The good news. The good news of the grace of God. You know, it's good news, isn't it? It's good news that God will reach down in the lowest gutter of depravity and save the vilest sinner. That's good news. It's good news that God will save an old sinner, clothe that old sinner in the righteousness of Christ, give that old sinner a home in heaven, and bless that old sinner with purpose and direction in their life. That's good news. It's good news that God can take a person that's least qualified, and God can qualify that person by His amazing grace and put him on the road to glory. That's good news. Paul said, I'm willing to die for that. That good news. Could you imagine today what would happen in all Bible-believing, gospel-preaching local churches if every Christian would get on board with commitment to the cause? The testimony? The life living for God? The joy, the peace, the giving out the gospel, the sharing the good news, the commitment to be faithful? Could you imagine what would happen? You know what? My friend, our church right now, we're not a very large church, but there's no doubt in my mind this church could double in size if we all equally would get on board with commitment that the cause is greater than our life. The cause is greater than our life. We're just a bunch of old pilgrims passing through. We're all going to be checking out sooner than we realize. We may as well, number one, enjoy the journey because Christians are able to enjoy the journey by the grace of God. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that in such a volatile world we're living in, where we have a creep on the other side of the globe talking about a possibility of a nuclear war, isn't it a wonderful thing today to be safe in Jesus Christ? Isn't it a wonderful thing today to know that no world dictator will ever take away the thing that's most important in our lives, salvation in Jesus Christ? I mean, if a Christian gets hit, if a nuclear weapon lands right in the middle, right on top of our roof, that's just going to put us into heaven quicker. I mean, if you go into heaven, you may as well just go as quick as you can, right? Isn't it great to know the Lord? The cause is greater than our life. There's many things in this life more important than our being cowered down like a bunch of cowards, scared to death of everybody and everything. No, my friend, that's not what God saved us. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of a sound mind. I've said this before, I'll say it again. It's time we quit quoting Scripture and start believing it, isn't it? He was not sidetracked from his duty, and that was to testify of the grace of God. And then finally, he was not blinded to his focus. To his focus. What was his focus? That I might finish my course with joy. That I might finish my course with joy. You know, it ought to concern us this morning how we end. It ought to concern us this morning how we end the race. Many are good on the start. They're pretty good on a 100-yard dash. But what about the cross country? We're going to be known really how we end. When it comes, by the way, when it comes to athletes, do you know any special notoriety given to athletes who begin well in anything? What are we known by? We're known by how we finish, not how we begin. And that ought to concern all of us today. He put it like this. I fought a good fight. That is, as a soldier, he fought a good fight. I finished my course as a runner. I've kept the faith as a Christian. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You say, preacher, what is that crown of righteousness? And people sometimes ask, well, what are the crowns? Could I put it to us all like this? It's immaterial what the crowns are. We're going to be so busy laying them back at the feet of Jesus Christ. It's not going to mean a whole lot what they are. Because when we get to heaven, it's going to be all about him anyway. He'll get all the honor. He'll get all the glory. But right now, let's be faithful in the race. Let's count the cause more important than our life. Let's table our ambitions and our selfish desires. Let's focus our eyes upon that end of that race to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That may not mean a whole lot right now, but it'll mean everything then. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in prayer this morning, and I pray on behalf of us all in this church. I pray that all of us will take from this message the simple point that the cause is more important than even our life. We know it's because of belief in the cause that the Protestant Reformation was sprung. It was because of believing in the cause that this nation was birthed with bloodshed and tears. It was because of belief in the cause that this church that we're standing in this morning was established so many years ago. It's because of the cause that Jesus came and died on that cross and paid our sin debt in full. It's because of the cause. Father, this morning, may people focus on the cause. May souls get saved today that's never realized that Jesus loved them so much he died for them. And they could be born again. So, Lord, for those that might be watching right now through Facebook, that if they've never been saved, may they right now, right where they are, call out to God in saving faith, believing, asking him to come into their heart and life and save them. And Lord, for all of us today that know the Lord, maybe some in this church service that aren't even saved as we have the invitation, may they be willing to come and accept Christ as their Savior. Do it right there in the seat and then come forward and let the church know they got saved. But heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now while no one's looking and God's people are praying. Is there anyone today in this church service that's not sure about the state of your soul? You're not sure about where you'll spend eternity. And you hear the news like we all do. You think of the insecurities in this world. And maybe the Spirit of God is using all of these insecurities to help you to realize. And by the way, you can thank God for it in this sense. Maybe he's helping you to realize that our help is in the Lord. We've got to look to him. If you're here this morning and you're not sure you're Christian, right where you are, would you be willing to lift your hand and say, "Preacher Peters, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian, but I need the security of salvation in Christ. Will you pray for me?" Anybody in this service today? You lift your hand for prayer. Anyone? Okay. Are there Christians who might say this morning, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart concerning the cause. Concerning the cause. He's reminded me today that the cause is even greater than my life. I too need to count my life not dear for the excellency of the glory of Christ. Will you pray for me as a Christian? God spoke to my heart concerning the cause. Will you remember me in prayer?" Could I see your hand? Anybody in the service? You slip up a hand for prayer. If maybe the Lord has touched your heart today, we are going to have an invitation. If you want to just come to this altar and talk to the Lord, you do so shortly. Father in heaven, bless this invitation. Have your will and way in every heart and life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.